DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Marcus Grody, a native of Ohio who studied polymer science at Case Western Reserve University and worked as an engineer before receiving his Master of Divinity degree from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. After many years in ministry, he founded the Coming Home Network International. He hosts the Journey Home television series on EWTN. With Marcus Grody, we go inside the pages of Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World, published by Ignatius Press. Marcus, thank you so much for joining me.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to share about this book.
I absolutely love Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. What a surprise and a delight when I opened the pages. I couldn't help, Marcus, but be reminiscent of that first chapter in the Holy Rule of St. Benedict, to listen with the ear of the heart. And it seemed as though you were questing for that throughout this entire book.
Well, yeah, the book was a surprise to me, too, in a way. When my wife Marilyn and I and our children moved out to the farm, well, to the land, let's put it that way, my wife had inherited some land, and so we felt it was a call from God to consider that, and so actually we designed a house and had it built and moved out to the land, in a way, still asking, all right, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? And in the process, the Lord had also been opening up many doors for me in terms of EWTN with the Journey Home program and also with the Coming Home Network. So I had an opportunity for ministry, but there was this move out to the woods. And at first we thought, well, it'll be a retreat. We'll live out in this woods and it'll be quiet, and we're actually returning to my wife's, in many ways, her childhood home, her family farm, never thinking that we would do anything more than that. Well, as we arrived, we began discovering little by little the other things that the Lord was opening up for us. And at first, it seemed, okay, maybe farming. So before we know it, we have sheep and cattle and a dairy cow and a pig and chickens and a horse and... I have no background in any of that. But part of it is trying to discern, all right, Lord, what are you calling our family to do? It's one thing to help our sons, three sons, discover the importance of simplicity and detachment, but are you also calling us to actually live more on the land, to learn how to farm, to learn how to take care of crops? Since I have no background, I'm learning everything from scratch. But in the process, and this is what I talk more about in the book is not about how to farm or even necessarily telling people they've got to leave the city and go to the rural land. In the process, it was as if my Lord and Savior snuck up behind me and helped me discover what the gospel was all about all along, about the need to grow in simplicity and detachment and humility. And maybe now, as I am in my 60s, maybe I'm finally learning what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And in many ways, I've realized that maybe what I need to do for the rest of my life is to try and live out all those things I've been preaching for the last 60 years on radio and from pulpits, and try and live it out so that I can be a better husband and a better father and a better friend to the people God has given me in my life.
Well, Marcus, what was so extraordinary about this is that so many of those who will encounter this work are familiar with your ministry that is expanded on EWTN, that wonderful Journey Home where you tease out of so many that quest to encounter God. And in this book, you, who have such an extensive background and already, I don't want to be presumptuous, I'm saying, but I think you had made that journey from your head to your heart, and it led you down these these paths, it just seems as though the Lord just expanded that experience of heart even more in this encounter with this natural world.
You know, on the journey home, there's a great challenge to help a person tell their story in a very short time. And to do that, you've got to try and pick the mountaintops and the valleys to discern, you know, how was God leading that person mm-hmm. from childhood all the way through to adulthood in about a half hour, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. And over the years, I'm 63, and I think about I've been in ministry one way or the other for over 40 years. And I've told my story many, many times as an evangelical, finding Jesus Christ when I was in college, and then later discovering the church. So I've told my story many times. What I found in my life in the rural world in the last 20 years or so is that there's a whole other side to my walk with Jesus Christ that I wasn't seeing the way that he was working in my life. And as I look back, I'm humbled by it because God has been so generous to me in far more ways than I ever deserve. And I look back, for example, I can't remember if I talk about this in a book, but when I was in high school biology class and my teacher challenged me to go out into my backyard and to string out a square yard in the backyard and then itemize every life form in that square yard. And I figured, oh, that'll be easy. So I was out there and probably in two afternoons, I thought I had it done. And I turned my report in and my teacher laughed and he said, "You haven't even begun." He said, "Go back out." So I went out and my life changed. And it was in that experience that gave me a love for science that I have to this day, because I began to realize that it would take a lifetime just to enumerate the life forms in that square yard of my backyard. And whether it came to the footprint of a deer that happened to walk through or an amoeba that I could only see in a microscope. Well, that was the beginning of my journey in many ways on another side of my life, which was to start discovering, as St. Bonaventure talks about, is the need to look at creation, look carefully at creation, to see the vestiges of God there, because the reason he has planted so much beauty around us is to draw our eyes and our hearts to him. And our world around us is now oblivious to all of that message. And that's part of what I discovered in the writing of this book.
Well, Marcus, what's so incredible about life from our land, the search for a simpler life in a complex world, it's not just your story, which is an extraordinary witness. I mean, I don't want to discount that. But that all throughout the book, as you've just have articulated a couple times, the need to discern, throughout the book, you are continually asking questions. You're asking questions not only of yourself and breaking open the answer, but also you're asking questions of the readers. So this book really becomes more of a spiritual engagement. It's you're constantly, in a gentle way, opening up the questing heart. You're guiding your readers through that. It's really quite wonderful.
I appreciate that, Chris, those thoughts. I'm thinking of the one chapter where I'm reflecting on my friends. A friend had recently died, and I'm reflecting on my friends, some who know the Lord, some who are practicing in their faith, some who aren't at all. And how do we understand our friends, and how do we help them draw closer to God and to understand? And that was the chapter that I talked about, the necessity of being, abiding, and loving in that journey that we all go through. And so many Christians stop at the first stage of just being in Christ. You know, you join the church or you're baptized or you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and they think, "I've arrived." And they don't recognize that, no, that's just the beginning, and that our whole life is a continuing of surrendering to Jesus Christ, abiding in him, learning to be like him, discerning what is important in our lives. And maybe the biggest thing in this book was helping people, I hope, by grace, wake up to the problem of being just a frog in the soup pond and just kind of floating along with everybody and just buying into everything that our culture senses tells us, almost as if it's a natural thing, a part of nature, when in reality, most of the stuff that controls our life is stuff that we have developed and now depend upon. Things that, I mean, I thought about this, I didn't put this in the book, but other than the basic things of our life, like food and water and clothes and shelter and going to church, if you put those aside, if you ask the average person, what are the 10 things that you couldn't live without? And the amazing thing is, those 10 things that the average person says they could never live without, people 100 years ago didn't even have. Mm-hmm. They never dreamed of having. The founders of our nation 200 years ago lived happy lives and didn't have any of the things that we assume we absolutely need today. And so part of the book was, okay, what about our children and our grandchildren? What kind of a world are we leaving them? And will they discover the importance of simplicity and detachment and walking as closely to Christ as possible?
Yeah, what I kept finding as I was going through the chapters of the book is that, in our culture today, it seems to feed an I want, I need generation. All right, particularly in the United States, I want, I need, I have to have. And the word there that jumps out is I have to have. And somehow we need to do the work. We need to make it happen because we, at the very, very nub of it, the heart of it, we don't trust that God is going to provide that for us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your encounter chapter after chapter is that discovery and that beauty that God loves you so much that look at what he has for you. If you just stop and just experience it.
Yeah, and it is almost as if the enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil want to do everything they can to prevent what you just talked about. Everything in our culture is focusing us on me and what's good for me. How am I going to take care of myself as I get older? What's important for me? And the irony that I found in the last 20 years is there's a huge movement out there, the Mother Earth News movement, Go Back to the Earth, Sustainable Living. And when you read the articles, it's all about independence. Individual people or individual families living alone, being self-sustaining. And the irony of that is that's not even how the self-sustaining communities that made our country great began. They were colonies of people living together, helping each other. Our country was all individual colonies. They were not individuals. They were individuals living as a part of a colony. And I talk about that in the book. That's what our faith is about. Too many Christians think it's just about Jesus and me. No, we were to be faithful individuals as a part of the body, as a part of the family of God. And so when we think about how to live our lives, it's just not about how I should live my life, but how can I live to help my wife and my children and my neighbors? I think it was St. Benedict that says when you get to heaven, God's going to ask you, who'd you bring with you? Mm-hmm. And it's really about that community and how we can live as a community in the midst of a crazy world today.
And just as you discover from the land comes all this growth and this beauty and an abundance, really, if we are aware of it, there is something that's beautiful in what you approach. Believe it or not, you tackle Catholic social teaching, but you bring it in a way that is very, I don't know how else to describe it, but organic. I mean, that the dignity, the value, how cherished and unique each individual is, but then how that's nurtured in the family, and then that subsidiarity of how that springs out of what you just said.
Yeah, we are I think maybe more, well, it's hard to say more today than ever, but I believe today we are facing unique challenges, that there are so many cats that have been let out of the bag in our culture that it's hard to imagine how we're going to corral those cats and get them back in the bag. And the world we've unleashed for our children is a bit scary. And so how are we as individuals, as a community, families in a community going to, you know, not just survive? It's not about filling a basement full of guns and food. It's about, you know, we're going to stand before God. And how are we going to stand before God without embarrassment? And we want to follow him to grow in holiness. So how do we and our family and our community do that? And subsidiarity really challenges us. I think it's one of the greatest of Catholic teachings is to begin. I think our politicians would benefit by thinking about subsidiarity, because what we as a family can provide for ourselves, we should. And what we can't, that's why we have neighbors. That's why we have a town and then a city and a county and then a state. And then the federal government, last of all. There are things that the federal government can do that that we can't provide for ourselves. But yet the federal government shouldn't be providing the things that we should provide for ourselves or that our community should. And I use the example in there, you go over and buy a pizza across the street. Well, where's that money going? If you buy it from a national chain, you don't know if that money's going to go to, I live in Ohio, is that money going to California, or is it going to some conglomerate owner in France? Or if I go to the local family-run pizza place where it's that family who has a house down the street, you know, I'm helping my community, the more I can look subsidiarily. And another way is, you know, people buying or eating asparagus in the middle of December. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, that that was never the case. Now we live our lives as if the natural seasons don't matter that God gave us to guide our lives, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are the clockwork. Our life, our day begins when sun goes up. It ends when it goes down. The whole nature was designed with this cycle. But we live today as if none of that matters at all. It doesn't matter when the sun goes up or comes down. No one even looks at the stars anymore. No one looks at the fingerprints of God. And I believe that by beginning there, and Bonaventure talked about this, by beginning there, slowing down with an attitude of gratitude to God, begins that spiritual journey. And I've tried to, and of course, I've tried to use humor in a book too, Chris, because
it's a great read.
I'm by far the worst farmer that ever lived. And, you know, it's funny, every day I go out there, even this last weekend, I'm doing a few things. And like I said in the book, you know, the saints up there are telling me, don't give up your day job.
Well, but the thing is, you haven't been alone in this process. The effects it would have on your marriage, the effects it would have on your parenting and the engagement, if it's not only to seek and experience God, we know by his very nature, he's a Trinity. It's relationship. It's a relationship of love. And here, not only did you experience him and his personal love for you, but then that relationship and his presence in your family. I mean, wow, what a dynamic that all played into.
Yeah. And as I've tried to say in the book, the book is not about what a great husband or great father I am. It's in many ways by our working together out on the farm has helped me discover so many of my shortcomings that maybe in another situation I wouldn't have seen. And I thank God for that. And now I, you know, my prayer is that I can live out the rest of my life and be a better husband and a better father and a better friend. You know, I travel all over the world, you know, jumping on an airplane to travel halfway across America to plop down in some community where I'm speaking to a group of people that I don't know. When in the same time, I'm not very good friends with the man that lives 300 yards down my country road because we're different. Well, I need to take more time for him, because if I don't do that, I may be the one person that God has placed in his life to help that man discover Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if I help 1,000 people with the Journey Home program, if in fact the one person God wanted me to help was that man right down the road. And I'm failing at that. And in the writing of this book, it was more of a confrontation to myself, I think, than to any of my readers.
Well, it sounds like it's the ultimate journey home, Marcus. I mean, it really does. He is, as we know from the Gospel of John, the Father and I, you know, he is in me and I am in them. And that's right. Where we encounter. And as you were speaking, I was recalling a very natural imagery is that blooming where you're at.
Yeah.
But blooming in that outgrowth of love. And that's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, we just really, is it our culture? Is it just the human condition? We feel safer in our own isolated areas.
I don't know. It seems like the older I get, the less confident I am in my ability to figure these things out. I use the imagery of frogs in the soup pot, the old, you know, proverbial image. Mm-hmm. And the danger of that is how much are we ourselves been blinded by our presence in the soup pot, the craziness, with all the voices we have in our life from television and internet, the books we read, the magazines, the people, you know, are we hearing God clearly? What about on Sunday? And so, you know, part of what I've tried to say in the book is maybe we begin by stepping outside, pulling up a chair to a bush and just study, look at the leaves, listen to the bird calls, listen to the crickets, look around and just think about how much love God is showing to us through the beauty of his creation. And that can help us start. I don't mean isolation from the world, but it helps us appreciate the world we've been given, maybe through the eyes of God.
Oh, now you're speaking like the great spiritual masters. I mean, wasn't it Ignatius and Teresa of Avila and so many others who would say to be able to hear him, to be able to experience that love, beware of the dangers of all the noise. You know, I mean, yeah. Ignatius would talk about as you get closer, there will be all these noises, but I don't think they could have fathomed the amount of sound that we have around us today.
And, you know, I have a quote in my book from Dorothy Day when she's saying the same thing. Mm. And think about it. When she was living, I mean, she had radio to worry about. She didn't have TV and internet or any of that. But she was also just saying, turn the radio off and read a book, you know, and relax and slow down and pray. And, you know, our need to do that. And I have that one chapter in the book about the graph, you know, we're on such an escalated changing. Things are changing so fast, and it's almost too fast for us to handle. I believe that one of the reasons that more and more and more of our young people are being graded as ADHD and given pills to deal with it is because for certain people, our brains are not wired to handle this craziness. Mm-hmm. And the speed of computers, the speed of the games, the speed of everything, that many people, maybe all of us, were just not created for the speed of that, and we're moving so fast that now we're seeing it played out in psychological problems, in broken relationships, broken families, broken marriages everywhere, because we just can't handle the speed of it. And so they need to slow down and hear God. And as you said, that's what the spiritual writers have been telling us for centuries.
Well, and I think there is that portion in the book, there's a line, I think it was in the stewardship chapter, where, again, one of the many, many just beautiful integrated questions throughout your ponderings in this book, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's essentially, are you responding to what your heart is calling you to, or are you fulfilling what there's an expectation that others have placed on you?
Yeah. I remember that chapter. That was a chapter when we were trying to figure out, for example, our youngest son, who's not a college-bound young man. He'll never go to college. He hardly could finish high school. If he's a great kid, but he has issues. And we have a world today that has moved so fast that unless you're college bound, it's almost as if there's no place for you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so how can you discover what God's calling you to do when maybe you're trying to fulfill everybody else's dream in our culture? And if you're not college bound, where do you fit anymore? 150 years ago, he would have fit in a small, sustainable community with any number of jobs in a small town. Mm-hmm. Today, it's tough. And it's getting to the point today where unless you have a master's degree, you can't compete. It's moving fast, forward. And oh, for the person who just loves wood carving mm-hmm. and has the patience to sit, or the patience to play the piano, or the patience to knit, the patience to relax and read a book. You know, I know this has been said 1,000 times before and probably 1,000 times better. But I just, part of the book was for me discovering it for myself. And by grace, can I slow down and appreciate all that God has put into my life? I pray that I can do that.
Yeah, I think you're speaking to so many more than you may even realize in that addressing those particular issues. Because I know my husband and myself, Bruce and I, our family is struggling with the same things. And our children, trying to allow them to be whatever it is that God has created them to be, and not to try to think they have to do this, 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 and that. And my husband, even in his pursuit in rock radio and was doing so well in bigger markets, we always ended up coming back to the heartland, to Omaha, which seemed crazy to the world. And yet it was exactly what we needed to do to slow down. And so isn't it something, the slower you go, the more you hear and the slower you want to go? I mean, it just almost to the point where you want to put brakes on everything.
It is amazing. That we could talk long about that, because that is fascinating. That I think people are afraid of getting bored mm-hmm. if they slow down. But what I'm finding is that my mind and ears and senses are open to so many things. There's not enough time for it. I mean, yesterday after work, I got back to the house. Meryl and I were there alone. We sat outside. We were drinking diet sodas. We were sitting there, and we spent about 45 minutes watching our cats play. These hummingbirds that were fighting over the feeder. We were hearing other birds. She was wondering, what's that? And I said, oh, I'm not sure. And we were looking at the cloud. And all of a sudden, we're seeing everything. And we were very content. We weren't, the last thing we were was bored. And that's what we're finding. It isn't that we're abandoning the rest of the world. I'm finding that we're putting the rest of the world in a better perspective.
Mm. I think, you know, there's a whole retreat here, and I think that's the wonder of your book, Marcus Grodi, Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. And I wish we had more time, only because I think that slowing down, I think we're afraid of doing that, because maybe what will we encounter, what will we hear? And learning how to deal with that and knowing what to do, that's the beauty of the Catholic faith, because that's where, if there needs to be some healing, that's where it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yes. And it's even looking forward for the end of our lives, the last years of our life. How do we plan for that? And I do believe that that involves slowing down, putting right priorities on things, so that we're not overwhelmed with trying to provide for ourselves in a way that's beyond our means. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've tried to address also in this book.
Oh, well, I do wish we had more time, but any final thoughts, Marcus?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the honor of inviting me to join you on the program. And I'm honored that you've enjoyed the book. And I do pray that any who listen and pick up the book, that it helps draw them closer to our Lord and His church.
Well, I can guarantee that it will for so many, and especially right here in the Heartland and for all those other areas of the world that will hear this. Marcus Grodi, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much.
With Marcus Grodi, we've gone inside the pages of Life from Our Land, The Search for a Simpler Life in a Complex World. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to Ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.